Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Welcome to Free Spirit Healing Circle, where we will explore ways to let go of our fears in order to become free. We will rediscover gratitude is the pathway to joy and spirit. Now I'm going to play a song for you while I get a hold of one of our, we have three people in the studio so far, and Mary is going to do the meditation, the centering exercise tonight. So let me go to Mary.
Can you hear me?
Hello, Mary. Just to let you know, I have to call Kat in Australia. Things have been a little bit screwy here, but everything's ironing out. And while you're doing the opening share, then I will call Kat in Australia.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
And everyone, I hope you're sitting upright. Close your eyes. And tense your body. Just make your whole body a fist, your belly button, your toes, your hairs, your fingernails, everything tense, 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 until you feel yourself sort of trembling and then collapse like a rag doll. Just flop. And now I want you to reach down inside yourself and grab all of the tension and just throw it out. Just dump it. I want to hear some ha's. Okay. Take a very deep breath all the way down to your belly. Pull the air down. Feel yourself filling up all of the spaces that used to have tension in them, all filling up with beautiful, loving energy. And search inside of you for all of the anger you're feeling and just throw it out, just dump it, just letting go, letting go. Take a very deep breath through the nose. Pull it all the way down to the base of the spine. Feel it charging there with the energy, with the power, with the survival. There you go. And just let it go. Just relax. Take another deep breath, pulling in the love, pulling all the love and filling up all of the spaces that used to be filled with anger. And now let go of your fear. Just dump it, dump it. Ha! Let it go. Let it go. Good. And pull in energy. As you breathe in, be aware that around you is energy that no one really knows how much energy is there or what it can do, but it's there and it's for us. And Spirit gives it to us all the time. And if we use it, okay, and if we don't, well, it's there anyway. So pull in that energy. And pull it right into your heart. Let your heart expand. Let your heart feel the love, the beauty, the peace, and the harmony that is all around us. But sometimes we're just too busy to notice it. We don't know how to access it, and the way to access it is to breathe and welcome it in and feel it and pull it in and love it and love your body for having that energy in. And now that you're all ready, the mantra that I start every session with is, God is with me, and I am with God's love as one. I surrender my loneliness to all-pervading love. I'm neither alone, nor cut off from, nor removed from God. Ultimate love and wisdom surround me, and I, within it, am absorbed, transmuted, conjoined, and part with the all-conscious being. And if you're comfortable and happy with it, just repeat, I am the I am. Since time began, I am. I am the I am. Since time began, I am. Just feel yourself to be at one with the Creator of all that is, with all the pieces of stardust that scattered all over through the millions of universes, and they created our planet and our world and us. And just feel yourself expanding and filling with this beautiful love, this beautiful energy, this beautiful, beautiful power that can never, ever, ever be misused. Thank you for sharing this with me. Are we connected now? Do we have a connection with the with the program? 1 second. Okay. Hello. Okay. Since I don't hear anybody else on the line, I'm assuming that we're okay. And I went today to a place where we usually have parlor jazz, and happened to be a birthday party. And there were some very wonderful people, very spiritual people and music-loving people. And as a birthday present, I gave a foot massage to the birthday girl. So I'm feeling very, very good right now and very connected. I'm just wondering if
I'm
we are
back.
Actually. Oh, thank you. Okay.
Well, thank you. You would not believe the challenge I've had here in the studio tonight. I was trying to call Kat, who was expecting a call from me, and when I hit the flash button, something weird happened, and I tried to flash back to the studio and got nothing. And then when I tried calling in again, it said, it appears you've already called into the show, only one show host at a time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song for all of these lovely people that have called in. We have Sharon, we have Beth, we have Jean, and we have Mary. And I'm going to try to call Kat in Australia. And rather than having somebody try to carry the ball, let me just play a song to kind of clear the air. I've played it
okay.
before.
Okay, I was just telling them about the birthday party I attended earlier today. Oh,
well,
twice.
Please
no,
go
no,
on.
No, no,
no.
I think it's kind of finished now.
Okay. I'm going to play a song called Throw It All Away, and I think that these lines will speak to you in terms of letting go. That's what it all is about. It's about letting go of those things that don't serve us. And so here is Jennifer Fearon, a New Thought singer, singing Throw It All Away.
I don't know, David. Maybe you're psychic. Do you think we were just talking about throwing away all of the negative feelings that are crowding our consciousness?
Beautiful. I like that. All right, here we go. Hang in there, folks. I shall return. And that was Throw It All Away by Jennifer Fearon.
And I'm still having a problem reaching Kat. I have had one topic offered for the evening, and I thought we could start off by discussing topics. Mary, I wonder if you would like to raise a topic to discuss tonight. The other topic that I have is self-forgiveness. Sharon, can you hear me?
I can.
Hi there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hi.
This is really turning out to be quite the evening. Let me get Beth on the line, too. There's Beth. And here's Jean. Everybody is live. And I'm wondering if one of you has another topic to add to the mix. I'm going to try again to reach Kat. I was having a problem with her number. And the same thing happened last week. I received a wrong number, and somebody Yes, I can, Mary.
Fine.
Do you have a topic you would like to add?
I was going to suggest serendipity.
Well, that's a beautiful topic. Is there anybody that would like to start the discussion off? And then while you're doing that, I'm going to try to reach Kat one last time.
Okay. Well, since I brought the subject up, have you ever found yourself, you know, you were in the right place at the right time for the right reason? Of course you have. I'm sure. And of course, this was one of those days and one of those places that it happened. You know, that here I was at a birthday party, and I didn't even know it was a birthday party until I got there. But the birthday girl had sore feet, and I offered to give her a foot massage for a birthday present, and she said, "Oh, thank you. How did you know?" And I said, "Well, your feet were screaming at me across the room." You know, so many, many times we are in the right place at the right time for the right reason. We're not open enough to notice it. And then later on, somebody will tell us somebody was there or something happened or you left early and then this happened or any number of things. So to me, serendipity really can't happen unless you're open and ready for it. And it's sort of what I call poised anticipation. If you're expecting something wonderful to happen, it's liable to happen. If you are convinced that nothing could possibly happen, everything's going wrong, it's terrible, it's you know, this is the worst day you've had in years, and everything is going wrong. Well, of course, you're right. You're right, it's going wrong. Because you are not open and ready to receive the good that's there. So think about that energy that is around us all the time. In the Indian religions, they call it prana, and in the Oriental religions, they call it ki or chi, and it is so powerful and so wonderful. But think about it. If you bring an Aborigine into a New York apartment and leave them there, for a little while, they're going to run out of the water in the toilet and not know where to get water from. And they will not know how to turn lights on because they don't know how to work those buttons, and they don't know what those little holes in the wall are for. And all of that energy is there and it's ready for them, but they don't even know it exists. So on many levels, we are not very far from those Aborigines. It takes a practice, it takes a caring, it takes willingness to receive whatever comes. And so many times we expect something. And when that doesn't come, we will say, well, nothing's coming. But we do not hear the things or see the things or feel the things that are really there for us. So I'd like to kind of throw it open and ask you, maybe Jean, how do you feel about this?
Well, Mary, I just have one mic open at a time. And I have Kat on the line, too. But just let you know how we're going to do it. Is I'm going to time the shares one person at a time, and then we'll go through it a second time around. So I didn't have a chance to do that in the beginning and talk about serendipity. We're all here now, and that is beautiful. So let me go to Sharon. She's the next person in the queue. And then we'll go around one more time if other thoughts have been stimulated. How does that sound? Hello,
Hi.
Sharon.
Hi.
Hi there. Just to let everybody know, I'm timing the shares 6 minutes apiece. And my little dinner bell could not be heard very well. So what I'm going to do is when 6 minutes are up, I'm going to just say time. And then if you could finish your thoughts up within a few sentences, that would be beautiful. This is all an experiment, and it's been quite the evening, but I trust that all will go well from here on out. Sharon, the floor is yours. The topics are serendipity and self-forgiveness.
Well, can we take one or the other in different orders, or should we go with the one first?
Either one. It doesn't matter.
You know, self-forgiveness is really capturing my attention because that's something I've become tuned into in embracing. Certainly the last few months, I've started to realize that was important for me in my life. And self-forgiveness in the way of thinking and realizing and appreciating that the past is the energy of the past. And, of course, you know, there's learning and evolving from incidences that took place in my past that I was a part of and choices and behavior. The other thing is that the energy of the past is just that. It's the energy of the past. And coming forward, it's that bountiful basket, the harvest basket of what have I learned from it and to nurture myself on that and then, of course, be aware and recognize the present and to focus on that as being very precious because I tend to certainly with certain particular one person in particular I'm thinking of I go over the past with a fine tooth comb over and over again and keep thinking my attachment to the apology and saying, I'm sorry, and in my head for things that I think of in the way of that I wasn't at my best in making certain choices. And I'm starting to emerge from that, and of course, you know, I express my sorries to the individual personally. The thing is, my emergence is just really recognizing and appreciating that that's the energy of the past and what I've learned from it that will carry me forward and not to repeat those actions and to really focus on the present, living in the present. And that's a total work in progress for me. Totally. I accept it, and it's certainly a mission that I'm on of appreciation, self-acceptance. So, yeah, self-forgiveness is big in my book these days, and that's certainly a theme. Thank you for bringing that up as one of the topics.
Would you like to share on the other topic, Sharon?
Okay. I'm sorry?
Would you like to share on serendipity?
Well, serendipity, I think I'm very pleasantly surprised when things come in a very surprising, pleasant way that is like a diamond sparkling, that emotional feeling that I get with a connection with someone or something, and just a highlight and feeling caught up in the moment of being an unplanned happiness, an unplanned satisfaction, an unplanned delight. Now, I've had those for sure. That's something that's an encounter that's very precious as well. And that's a present moment, living in the present moment when the serendipity happens for me. Something that's unplanned and is just bringing that emotional feeling of a positive, happy, delightful event or moment or second that is, you know, when I look at the skyline and really see it instead of just driving to my destination and not seeing any of the nature around me, to me that I can cause that serendipitous moment too. That's how I define that as well. So thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sharon. I appreciate it. And let's move on to Jean, and bear with me for just a moment, please. Jean, you're live.
Hey, everyone. I just took myself off mute because I always mute my phone. I think I'm going to start with forgiveness. Excuse me. I had to learn that for myself personally, I needed to learn that in order to really, really be able to forgive another person, I also needed to forgive myself. And in some situations, I needed to forgive myself first. Because, we really don't need anybody to guilt trip us because we can be we can do that perfectly all ourselves. And forgiveness is so freeing on so many levels. And I'm not saying that forgiveness is easy. I know that it takes practice. But I think when we just make a decision of, like, wanting our lives to be happier and wanting our physical internal bodies to feel better, then forgiveness brings upon that. When we hold on to lack of self-forgiveness for ourselves or others, our bodies can become so sick, and if we don't listen, our guides can put us in situations to make us stop and pay attention. And I just want to say forgiveness for me, once I mastered it, has been extremely freeing on so many levels. Serendipity, excuse me, I love serendipity. And I'm always laughing at it. I've been trying to think since Mary started on what I can share. I see a lot of serendipities everywhere I go. I practice to be very consciously aware of my surroundings. So serendipity for me could be anything, standing in a grocery store line and all of a sudden striking up a conversation and about love or about compassion, which I just had a conversation like that yesterday. So I would include that. To me, serendipity is, yes, being in the right place at the right time so that we are receiving our blessings and what we have preset and arranged and manifested. And I also love the serendipity of the divine universe. Because just being a witness out in humanity, whether it's people observing or nature or animals, you can really have a lot of those moments that I feel brings me more into who I am and who we all are. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Jean. I'm going to go to Kat next, who I gratefully have gotten a hold of. I'll tell a funny story that didn't seem so funny at the time when it's my turn. So, Kat, I turn it over to you.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity, David. I'll just take a – I loved what Jean said about both serendipity and forgiveness. I feel like serendipity comes to you when you're in alignment with the universe and you're in flow. It's more hard to come by when you're trying to be at the helm of the ship and you're pushing for life to go your way. When you take that sweet surrender and you say, you know what, I am part of this greater ecosystem, I am part of the universe, and I'll allow the universe to guide me. It's much bigger than me, and I know that it will give me the answers. You can pop along, bop along, and enjoy your life a lot easier, a lot better, and then things begin to flow. And to me, that's what serendipity is. It's the flow. An example, recent example for me is I have a neck injury, and I always have to have a high back chair or sit against the wall and have a cushion or a gel pack under my skull to support my neck. And I can't go to a lot of places where I'm going to sit for a long time, because if there's nowhere to have a high back chair or sit against the wall, I'm going to start to suffer. And I went to a self-realization fellowship monastic meeting the other day, and I knew there was going to be meditation, and I didn't want to be uncomfortable so I could actually meditate. I contacted the guy and I said, hey, are there any high back chairs in this lecture theater at this convention center? And he said, I don't know. And when he got there, he took a photograph of his mate sitting in a high back chair. Now, I have been to the Brisbane Convention Centre multiple times since it was built, and I'd never, ever been in this one part, this small part of the centre, at the very front of it across the road from the ABC building. I'd never, ever been there. I'd always been in many, many other parts where there was a low back chair. So I didn't know. But serendipity was that they booked the one place that had high back chairs, and I could be comfortable. And that's just a little example of serendipity. But you'll hear in the commentary, you'll hear everything fell into place. That is serendipity. That was, everything was meant to be. It all seemed like it was supposed to happen that way. These are all expressions in the common tongue that tell you serendipity has happened. In regards to forgiveness, I can't really beat what Jean had to say about that either. I don't want to beat her. I just mean that she rounded that up so beautifully. and I agree totally that forgiveness starts with you. It is within yourself first, because the other person is mirroring something. The other person or people are mirroring something within you. And what is aggravating you that they are doing? That is what you need to forgive. Now, it might be something massive, like the guy that shot the wife of one of the people who was in that massacre in New Zealand the other day, and he forgave the shooter. Now, that's huge. He had to overcome so many inner obstacles to get to a point where he said, you know what, dude, you're part of the universe. And in his case, he called that Allah. And I respect that, because he got to a point where he said, I surrender to the greater scheme. And but I know people who sit there and rehash the past. And as they're rehashing the past, they're getting grumpier and meaner. And meaner and grumpier. And they're going around this horrible, vicious circle. And any illness or any bone pain or any kind of discomfort that they're experiencing intensifies. They become older. They become weaker. They become nastier. They, you know, like Mr. Burns on The Simpsons. That's how they become. And it is self-poisoning to be sitting there rehashing the past and thinking only angry, nasty thoughts. So we'd say the first step to forgiveness is to become self-aware, to catch yourself thinking about the past in an angry, nasty way, and to reframe. And so you would say, I am angry at my father for not collecting me from school on time. You would say, I forgive my father. He was on his way and he got held up in traffic, I understand. So you would reframe, or you would just, if you cannot even bring yourself to that point, you catch yourself having the angry thought, and then you would replace it with something that makes you happy. Like, I really hate my father because he was cruel to me when I was a child. Oh, I don't want to think about that. I really love the taste of chocolate ice cream. And think about chocolate ice cream for a while. Have a completely different thought and start to lessen the neural pathway of those angry thoughts until you can come to a point that you can reframe, start to understand. I think that's it in a nutshell for me.
Thank you, Kat. Well, I've been reflecting upon what I've heard, and I really enjoy this forum. I want to start with self-forgiveness, and I do believe that forgiveness is the pathway back to love. And I believe it needs to start with self, too, because without forgiving myself, I'm in a place of unhealing, and I'm not capable of giving myself the kind of love that I need in order to truly love another person. You know, it's interesting, as all of you know, I have a background in addiction. And 31 years ago this coming week, I got sober from alcohol. And how it happened was, during the course of my last drunk, I called up the former partner of my then partner and apologized for what I perceived as stealing him away. Well, this person said, I don't even remember it. I do forgive you. And he said, I'd suggest you stop beating yourself up. And I didn't have a clue as to what he was talking about. It took me quite a while into recovery before I came to see how much I did beat myself up and how little self-love I had for myself. And until I could get in touch with that and begin the process, because forgiveness is a process, the most important person that I needed to forgive was me. And then I had to take a look at all of the other persons in my lives that I had wronged and asked for their forgiveness. So I'm awfully glad that Beth brought up the topic. I think that we can be our own worst enemies, and that what we need to do is learn how to become friends with ourselves. We need to let go of all of our baggage, all of the things that we've used as weapons against us, and just live in the light. And it's interesting, we talked about that last week. At any rate, serendipity is such a delightful topic. I remember it was one of my mother's favorite words. And I think of serendipity as being almost analogous to synchronicity, in a sense. Serendipity, I looked up the definition of it. Just to be clear, I thought I knew what it meant, but it says the occurrence and developments of events by chance in a happier, beneficial way. And I think of those times in my life when I'm really in the flow, and I did hear somebody talking about the flow. And all I had to do is think of a person, and not 10 seconds later, the phone would ring. I can remember one day when I thought of some people that I used to work with. There were three women, and I went to visit one of them that day, and lo and behold, she had invited one of the other three women to come to the house, and so I saw woman number two, and then I was on my way to help out a lady that had been a former client of mine, and I stopped at this flower stand to buy her a little bouquet. And wouldn't you know it, the third woman showed up. And so it was very happy day for me. And I just was absolutely in awe. But that's the way God seems to work in my life when I'm in the flow. And in order to be in the flow, I need to be free of those chains that bind me. The things that cause me to need to forgive myself again. So I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to also put it out that my egg timer doesn't seem to be an egg timer at all. So I've been watching the clock. And the next person that we have is Beth, and let me bring her mic live. And thank you, everybody, for your indulgence tonight. I know it's been a tricky night, and I'm just so grateful that it's worked out so that we could have this forum. Beth, you're live. Is there anything you'd like to say on the topics of self-forgiveness or serendipity?
Sure, that would be fine. Recently, God has been showing me that I have a lot of anger, just free-floating anger around various things. Part of it is the way I respond to things. I was shown a lot of anger by my father when I was growing up, and so I kind of learned to be an angry person. The Bible says that you're not supposed to go with an angry man lest you become like him yourself. But if it's your father, you kind of have to go with him. You don't have much choice. So after he used to beat me, I would swear and swear and swear and swear to myself. And so now I'm finding myself swearing a lot and having trouble with anger that I later am embarrassed about. So I was talking to a healer last night, and she said you have to forgive yourself for being angry. And I had never thought about that before, that I actually was holding it against myself that I'm an angry person. And it is something that I have to stop. You know, I have to stop holding my defects in front of me so hardly. And for that's it, right? Hello?
Thank you, Beth. That's great. Let's go back through the circle again, and let's go back to Mary and see if there's anything else she would like to add. Mary, you're live.
Yes, hello. Yes, on the topic of forgiveness, I feel somehow that forgiveness is the province of God. The most important thing we can do, there are two things we do, understanding and release. I've heard many times, I forgive him, but I will not forget. And that is not healthy. Understanding can often heal the anger and all of the feelings that need to be forgiven. And when you release something, it's gone. If you forgive something, it implies in some way that I am so much better than you. You have done this terrible thing, but I forgive you. In my generosity and my beneficence, I forgive you. So, understanding is gentler and kinder and more loving. And when you understand what a person did that upset you and angered you and made you feel as if they were doing something against you, maybe when you understand what they were going through at the time, it's easy to just let it go. Just let it go and let the love come in and fill the space that used to be in forgiving has to follow blame. You can't. And so that's just my particular weird way of looking at this, and it's just me. But you might think about it and wonder if maybe I've got a point, maybe I haven't. But anyway, that's all I have to offer.
Thank you, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Sharon. Sharon, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I have certain addictions in my life. And one of my addictions is, first I'll state that I don't drink, I don't use drugs, I don't smoke cigarettes, but my addictions are treating myself and my body in a honoring it and staying committed to a healthy lifestyle of, you know, movement and enjoyment and of, you know, I don't ride my bike for exercise. I just take the side benefits of it. And the food that I eat, to look at it as nutrition rather than numbing feelings. And the same with the addiction of not forgiving myself is an addiction. And I can blame it on my Catholic start, my Catholic upbringing, and I've gone on to become a follower of the Golden Rule. And what pleases me is inclusive spirituality. So that I recognize that as an addiction. It's just something that I, in not forgiving myself, and that's self-flagellating. So it's not something that behooves me, and it certainly withers any emotional sense of well-being, as does eating something that is that I know, you know, can be a treat occasionally, but not all the time. So that's what I put on my book, on my list of addiction for me. And when I find myself doing that, not forgiving myself for something that I may have done in the past to someone else, and holding that against me to feel the other deeper layers of emotion like guilt and things like that, I know that that's just making me feel, as an end result of, you know, when I wake up the next morning after I've eaten more ice cream than I should have, that's good for me, and feeling like I've gone to some kind of orgy and I have to remember in my foggy state, why do I feel this way? Oh, okay. I did more than once in a while type treat. I went ahead and binged on some more ice cream. And the same with not forgiving myself. You know, why am I feeling this way? Oh, okay. I'm allowing myself to beat myself up for what happened. And I fully acknowledge that I've learned from it. And just moving on, it's okay to let go. It's okay to let go of that and to forgive myself. So that's still a real new journey for me in that way, and recognizing that that's part of my network of support within myself, my tools in my toolbox. Well, thank you, David.
Thank you, Sharon. Let's go back to Jean. And hold on just a moment while I work the switchboard, please. Jean, you're live again.
I like that little buzzer. Where's that buzzer coming from?
I think it might be coming from Australia. Is it, Kat?
Yeah, someone tried to ring me, and I've just sent them.
Oh, is that what that is?
I'll mute our microphones. Yes. And let you talk, Jean. And we do have one other person that's joined the circle. We'll come back to you, area code 91, to see who you are in just a few moments. And tonight's topics are self-forgiveness and serendipity. So I will give you a chance to listen for a while, and then we will come to you as last but not least. So, Jean, is there anything else you'd like to say on the topics?
First, I just want to say I love that sound, Kat, because every time it went off, it reminded me of a foghorn, you know? And really, we can get foggy when we get addicted, right, in the non-forgiveness. I love that. That was Sharon that said that, right, about being addicted to non-forgiveness, because that's an easy pattern to fall into. And when we, I think like any addiction, that when we repeat it and repeat it with the thoughts in our heads, our actions, our behaviors, then yes, it becomes an addiction and comfortable. And then once we step into the self-forgiveness, I love that when David brought up, you know, forgiveness is also loving and honoring yourself, is what I want to add to that, too. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we might want to maybe write ourselves a letter, you know. Maybe we let go of that one love as an example, right? Because of our own baggage. And let's say for years and years, and actually, I can give you an example, my high school sweetheart, right? It took me 20 years to get over him. And when I finally did, because I was truly in love with him, and you know how it is in high school sweethearts, right? It's like really deep because we're young. It took me to the 20th year to forgive myself for beating myself up for not remain still in that relationship. So, and I agree with David that it bottom lines with self-love. And the only other thing I want to say is, in a nutshell, that once we really self-forgive, then our present moment life becomes so much more enhanced with peace in so many ways. And if we want to have forgiveness with somebody, we don't necessarily have to talk to them face to face. If there's somebody deceased, what, light a white candle. If it's someone who's still alive, do it. Sit down and do it through meditation. If you don't feel that, you know, you can do it face to face, if you need to forgive yourself, write yourself a letter or sit down and light a white candle and honor yourself with love. Thank you, David, and everyone.
Thank you, Jane. Kat, would you like to share any more?
Yeah, it's a bit hard to start sharing because everybody's covering this topic so beautifully. The thing is that when it comes to forgiveness, it's so easy to listen to everybody else's wisdom, and then it's another thing to act on it. But it holds you back if you don't forgive. And, you know, there's a great saying out there, would you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Mm.
And in the end, happiness is freedom. That's really what I equate anyway. I equate the feeling of freedom with the feeling of happiness. And if you've ever released a wild animal back into the wild after you've healed it from an injury and you see the joy, the absolute happiness in that animal as it goes back into the complete uncertainty of life that is the wild, then you know that forgiveness is a trap. Non-forgiveness is a trap. It's an illusion that you are in that is causing you to have a prison in your mind. And within that prison, you can build some pretty solid walls, but it will hold you back. And it can hold your soul's evolution back. You can continue to reincarnate with a grudge and get to a point that you don't know why you feel so angry towards an institution or a person or something. It can also be intergenerational. We've all heard of ancestral wars. I mean, the children of people are not born thinking, I hate those other people. They have it in their, it becomes part of their DNA though, because the poison that sits in the thought pattern of non-forgiveness actually starts to restructure the cellular framework, which goes into the DNA. And it takes an incredibly powerful soul to be born into a family that is at war. Whether they're at war with each other or they're at war with another family, it takes an incredibly powerful person, an incredibly powerful soul to say, no, I break this cycle. I choose to forgive. I think our brother Jesus Christ said it beautifully when he said, turn the other cheek. What he was actually saying was forgive, commit relationship. Yeah, I think the show's about to wrap up, so I'll finish there.
Thank you, Kat. Actually, we can go beyond what the electronic lady said, but I thank everybody for keeping your shares so I don't even have to call out time. That's a beautiful thing. That's serendipity. Right, since the timer is not working. Beth, I'm going to come back to you one more time to see if there's anything else you'd like to share. And Beth, you are live.
Yes, the healer I worked with last night was able to help me release a lot of lack of self-forgiveness. And so it may be just a moot point, but I felt like, you know, the more I learn about it, the better off I am. Things that's been such a behavior pattern to beat myself up for wrongdoings or getting angry or whatever it is that I'm having trouble with at the time. And I'm working with somebody right now, and she can't forgive herself for something she's done. And I brought it up for her as much as for me, and I'm looking for things to tell her. I'm her sponsor in a 12-step program, and it it's really hard to watch her sit there and just beat herself into a state of inability to sleep, and grief and sadness. And I'm hoping to glean more that I can share with others as well, besides just applying it to my own situation, which I believe I was able to do in a great degree last night. As far as serendipity goes, I have a lot of serendipitous moments, and they're beautiful when they happen. It's like everything comes together at once in like a God-ordained way. And for example, I'm in recovery, and my nurse, when I stayed overnight for my broken ankle, which I had to have surgery on, was in the same 12-step program I am. And to me, that was like serendipitous that we were able to have some really deep and meaningful talks together in the night. She helped save me that night. God just provides things in the flow of life that can be no other explanation as to be miraculous. And I was thinking about Mary massaging the birthday girl's feet. And, part of that was because she took the initiative but sometimes it just happens without anybody taking any initiative. Things just fall into place. I think that, it's beautiful if you look for those moments of life, not just expect everything to turn out negatively or be in a negative frame of mind, but to look for the serendipitous moments and just thinking about it as a positive thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Let's go to area code 917. I have a suspicion as to who this might be, but I'm not positive. Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
Hi, this is Lisa. I'm just listening. I don't really know what it's about, so I don't want to interfere.
Oh, well, thank you for listening, Lisa. This is a program designed to help people become free spirits. We're on every Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And thank you for joining us tonight. In the future, if you want to share, we raise two topics each evening, and we're led into and out of the show with a meditation. And Jean has graciously agreed to do that for tonight. So I'm going to say goodbye to Lisa. Yes, please feel free to listen in. And Jean, I'm coming to you now. And there you are.
Hey, David.
Hi.
Sorry. I just get so engrossed with everything that I'm listening to because I'm trying to absorb it for responses, but I know we're done with that. And are we done with that, or are we moving on to meditation? What would you like from me?
Let's move on to meditations, unless you have any final words.
No, I just want to say thank you, Lisa, for joining us, and I hope you come back and join us because we're here every Sunday, and you'll get to share too if you want. I just wanted to toss that out.
Thank you, Jean.
You're welcome. We invite everyone, right, David and Mary and Kat and Sharon and Lisa and Beth, right? We all invite everyone. So if you would like to participate, please close your eyes. And let's just take three gentle breaths. And hold each one for the count of three. So three breaths at the count of three. So it'll be a breath, holding for 3 seconds, relaxing as you exhale, taking in your second breath, holding for 3 seconds, gently releasing.
Taking your third breath, holding it for the 3 seconds. Gently releasing. Bringing all your focus and intention into the center of your heart. We are all divine, love and light and amazing beings and human beings. In your next breath, breathe in pure divine love and exhale deep into your heart gently. Breathing in pure divine love and exhaling into your heart. With each gentle breath, allow any resistances with lack of forgiveness or that maybe has obstacles that maybe prevent you from noticing those serendipity moments. Breathe in divine love. Exhale deep into your heart. With each gentle breath, this divine love releases those two resistances and opens up for miraculous serendipity experiences with joyful love. Breathing in divine love. And as you exhale this time into your heart, let's let it ripple out to the first layer of your auric field that is closest to your body. Breathe in pure divine love. Exhale into the heart, goes into the first layer of your auric field. Breathing in divine love. Exhale into your heart. Ripples into the second layer of your auric field. Divine love. Breathing in divine love. Exhaling into your heart. And let's fill that third layer of your auric field as it ripples out with divine love. As divine love is circulating with each breath as it ripples out, filling all first three layers and continuing with divine love. Breathing in divine love. Exhale into your heart. Let it ripple out to the fourth layer of your auric field. Filling and filling with each breath. Pure divine love. Breathe in divine love and exhale into your heart. And let's ripple out to that sixth layer of your auric field. We did not forget the fifth layer. We came to the sixth layer first so that you can release with love through your thinking mind and your cellular memory all those resistances with lack of forgiveness for self and all. Breathing in divine love. Circulating, rippling out, filling the sixth layer of your auric field, sending love to the right and left side of your brain, sending love to your cellular memory. Breathing in divine love, and now let's come back and fill that fifth layer. And with each gentle breath, as love flows into your heart and fills that fifth layer of your auric field, allow that love to gently flow and weave through your vocal cords, your larynx, and release all those burdens on your shoulders with a lack of forgiveness holds and binds you. Breathing in divine love, exhaling into the fifth layer of your auric field. Breathing in pure divine love, exhaling into your heart, rippling so ever gently yet divinely powerful with love out into the seventh layer of your auric field. As this divine love circulates and vibrating every cell, every organ, every gland and system. Reminding you who you are, divine sacred love. Breathing in divine love, filling all your bodies, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, with divine love. And when you're ready to come back, please know that you can do this anytime on your own. And I thank you for participating. I thank you for all the lack of self-forgiveness that we let go. I thank you for loving yourself. You may open your eyes when you're ready. Root and ground your feet to beloved, precious Mother Earth. Let Mother Earth's love open your feet chakras, grounding you with her sacred body. As you come back fully present, humbly, everyone. Everyone back in your body, perfectly grounded in harmony and peace. Vibrating love, consciously alert, grounded with precious Mother Earth, Pachamama.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you.
That was
honor.
A surprise. And thank you, everybody, for participating. I'm so grateful that we all were able to come together tonight, in spite of some technical difficulties. So I wish you all a blessed evening and a blessed week, and I'll look forward to all of you who might be able to join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Good night and God bless.